141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we kick off the week of all weeks for Rangers. The mass migration of fans to Seville has begun, with the team also arriving in Spain ahead of Wednesday's final. Kemar Roofe travels, will he be fit in time to play a part? And at home this weekend, it was all about promotion, relegation and trophy day at Celtic Park as Ange Postecoglou's side got their hands on more silverware. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans.
We're just getting our breath back after Celtic's title winning weekend, and now the clock has started to tick down to Seville and Rangers Europa League final. The exodus has begun. Supporters clocking up air miles an astronaut would be proud of. And the appeals go on as well for those supporters to behave when they get to the city of Seville, respect the country they are in and respect the team they are there to support. A week of potentially historic significance is upon us.
Jim Duffy, usually when we get to the 16th of May, things are winding down, and yes, there's a Scottish Cup final around the corner. My goodness, to have a Scottish club in a European final this week doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, it could be a fantastic week of celebration, you know, for hundreds of thousands of fans all around the world, and particularly Scotland. Celtic, as you said, celebrating the title winning at the weekend there, or clinching it and getting presented with it, and that was a fantastic celebration at Celtic Park at the weekend. And Rangers looking, as you said, to do something that, you know, none of us thought would be possible. You know, over the last several years of a Scottish club getting to a major European final, and phenomenal achievement from Rangers to get there. Can they go one step further and win it? And then you don't even get time to celebrate if they did, because of that small matter of the cup final against the Hearts at the weekend. So yeah, I mean, fantastic end to the season for Scottish football, but particularly Rangers. This is a huge week for them.
01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch. No such thing as a quiet Monday on this show, but particularly tonight, Rangers fans. Where even to begin? Are you on your way yet? I like to think we can somehow reach into corners of Britain and Europe and find people who are on their way, Hugh and Jim, see what they're up to, see where they've been, see how many iron brews they've had along the way. Celtic fans, how do you look back on a title success? You got the trophy at the weekend. It was celebrated like none before, really, if you look at how long fans stayed in the stadium, the words of Ange Postecoglou, everything it meant. So why not pick up the phone and let us know? We can actually talk about the final itself. It is only 2 days away, so early team suggestions and all those types of things as well. 0141 951 1025. And we're here until 8 o'clock, so get your calls in. Now, it is a Monday, and I know things were slightly tailing off in domestic football, but you still need to make some decisions for me. Result of the weekend, go.
Celtic 6, Motherwell 0. If you're going to receive the title in front of 60,000 of your own fans, give them a display like that. Sensational goals from Kyogo, from Giakoumakis, and just a wonderful performance.
Jim, result of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit left field there, Gordon. Queen's Park beating Airdrie 2-1 at Airdrie. Airdrie have been the form side over the last few months alongside Cove. Phenomenal run under Ian Murray. Unfortunately for them, pipped at the post. But Queen's Park, to get up to the Championship, Owen Coyle's not even officially appointed yet, so I'm not quite sure if that counts. But for Owen himself, to be in the dugout and to have a team promoted to the Championship, outstanding. And I think congratulations have to go to Queen's Park.
Don't mind that at all. Honourable mentions to everyone else who did the business in the playoffs as well. Bonnie Rigg-Rose coming into the SPFL, Edinburgh City. We know Inverness are through to the final against St Johnstone as well. What about your goal of the weekend, Hugh? What tickled your fancy?
I'm going Alec Lowry for Rangers at Tynecastle. He looked far and away the best, the most accomplished player on the park, whether you were in maroon or blue. And Rangers have uncovered a gem.
Yeah, I mean, I had two at the weekend in the same game. Giannoumakis overhead kick, but I think actually the one that beats it is Kyogo. Mm. I think the movement, you come short, spins, gets in behind. The pass from Anthony Ralston is absolutely top class, and the finish and the composure. As the ball comes over your shoulder, you talk to any professional footballer, so it's one of the most difficult techniques you can execute to perfection. Magnificent goal.
Okay, howler of the weekend. Who are we upsetting?
Dundee United fans at Dingwall. They went too far. You can be joyous and you can be exultant, but don't go on the park and don't have Tony Watt, one of your own players, saying, "You injured me and a teammate."
Okay, Jim Duffy, your howler of the weekend.
Yeah, I was maybe just a day or so before it. I think that on the Friday, I think.
Well, that counts, don't you worry.
Well, I have to say, not like criticising referees too often, but I think Willie Collum did not have his best night in the playoff semi final between Arbroath and Inverness, sending off two players. And both decisions, I think, were incredibly harsh on Inverness.
Yeah, I noticed today Inverness have appealed the first one. You can't appeal the second one, but they have appealed that. So anyway, on we go. 0141 951 1025. It's 8 minutes past six. We've not even really started arguing about anything yet. Yeah. And the phone lines are lighting up. That tells you everything you need to know about the week that we have coming up here.
Well, Glasgow's a big place again. You know, Glasgow, the home of Celtic and Rangers. Celtic 60,000 at Celtic Park. Ange Postecoglou's words have left them breathless with admiration for the man, and they can't wait to get back because he has promised them that Celtic will be bigger and better next season. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst off to Seville today with his Rangers players, on the verge of what would be a historic achievement. 50 years after winning in Barcelona, could it be trophy number two in Europe for Rangers?
Let's get stuck straight in, because like I say, the phone lines are looking very, very busy indeed. 01419511025. Now, David is a Rangers fan from Clydebank. I don't think you're still in Clydebank at the moment, are you, David?
Yes, I'm just about to leave Clydebank.
Oh, you're just leaving Clydebank. Right, what's the plan then? Where are you? I was going to say, where are you off to? That's a stupid question. But tell me what happens in between Clydebank and Seville.
Oh, we're heading straight down to the Euro Tunnel. Four of us driving non-stop. Moms each are driving. We won't arrive there till 3 o'clock on Wednesday morning.
Wow.
Down through France, down through Spain.
What are we talking here? A minibus, just a normal car, camper van? What's the mode of transport?
A motorhome. Actually, the motorhome. One of the boys doesn't know any of us at all. He's just piled in with us to go.
How did that come about?
One of the other boys thinks he's going to Rhodes with his girlfriend the next day we get back. I think it's back.
More importantly, when he's got tickets.
Sorry, Jeff.
Have you got tickets, David?
No tickets. We've only got tickets for the fan zone.
Hugh, there you are.
Yeah.
You were brought up in this part of the world. Camper vans going from Clydebank to Seville. Six people. One of them doesn't even know anyone else. No tickets for the game.
I hope you get passports.
People
just want to be there in the city. I remember meeting my own son in Paris in 1998. Didn't have a ticket, but he wanted to be in the city when Scotland played Brazil. So he came from London and he just stayed in the city, and then he went home. He never saw the match.
Crazy to think he would have been trying to avoid you the full time as well.
No. He always liked his dad to buy him his dinner.
There is that. David, tell me more. How does this one stranger who doesn't know anyone else, how did he get involved?
Because he works in MGM Timber in Clydebank, and I just have to tell him we were going, and he wanted to jump aboard, so we said yes, and that was that. He's here.
I think that truly sums it up, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, I think I know the boss here, John Thompson. I think if he's there, he used to be a goalkeeper at Maryhill Junior, so there's one for you. But anyway, listen, fans always want to go there. Even back in the day when it used to be every second year when Scotland used to go to Wembley, so many fans went down there and never saw the match. Normally because we were a bit inebriated, they fell asleep on the bus or at the side in a hotel or something. But in this particular journey, I think the excitement is just it's adrenaline fueled. It's excitement. It's joyous. You know, there's a chance for Rangers to be one of the greats. You know, you see teams won in Europe. You know, they're forever remembered. Mm. 50 years later, people still can run the teams off. So it's a fantastic occasion for all those Rangers fans going. It's not quite the Jolly Boys' holiday on the Fools and Horses, but as long as it is jolly and everyone's enjoying themselves, and as David said, all taking a turn with the driving. Fantastic. That just said, I'll live in the memory.
I hope the one that they don't know has told his family he's going to Seville, in case they wonder round about Wednesday afternoon where he is.
They could have hired me and Gordon as non-drinkers. Exactly. And we could, that the, way we should drivers, have done double
made
shifts in the drivers.
A few quid. Yeah. David, once you get there and all the fun is done from the journey, are you going to win this thing?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Hugh, they've not even left the G81 area yet, and it's sounding lively. So I don't know what it'll be like at 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning, but I'd imagine most Rangers fans heading over, look, you're going anyway, as Jim says. Yep. It's sort of once in a lifetime. Maybe not twice in a lifetime, whatever it may be.
Well, it's once in their lifetime, because the majority won't have been alive, maybe.
No, Manchester though. Manchester, I was thinking. But yeah, but anyway, they're going with a real faith, a real confidence that it can be done.
Why not? Why on earth not? Because Rangers have beaten better German teams in this competition this year in Dortmund and in Leipzig than they're about to face on Wednesday. Rangers have been sensational in this tournament. They haven't arrived there by a quirk of fate. They've arrived there because they absolutely deserve to be there on the strength of their results and performances.
Tactically, astute manager has been terrific. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has been outstanding tactically in Europe, and that's given them a platform, even when they've not been at their best, to see the games out. But listen, there's huge pressure on Frankfurt as well, you know, Eintracht Frankfurt, and I think people tend to forget that, because obviously we're only focused on Rangers. But what an occasion it's going to be. And, you know, I think if Rangers get anywhere near the top level of performance, then I think they'll come back with a trophy.
David, will you give us a call on the way back? That's the next question.
We most definitely will.
Good stuff. I hope all six of you are there, including the stranger. That was David in Clydebank. Well, I say he's from Clydebank. He's still in Clydebank at the moment, making his way to Seville across various other borders. So thanks to David. I feel that's the sort of tone we're going to take for the rest of the week. I'm really looking forward to hearing your stories. The team have flown out, incidentally.
Yep.
Lovely big private jet at Glasgow Airport today in the pouring rain, just to remind yourself that you're leaving Glasgow and going to somewhere sunnier. And that's when it'll be coming really real for the players, Jim. Not that it wasn't already, but once you're on that plane, you know where you're heading.
Yeah. I mean, a few of the fans will probably come back looking like an angry tomato, because you know, they'll be sun-kissed, to say the least. But for the players, yeah, they have to adapt. Gordon, you say they're leaving, you know, Glasgow, you know, grey, drizzly, miserable day, going over to Seville, likely to be very warm, very hot. They have to acclimatise. They have to understand that they might not be able to play at exactly the same tempo as they would normally play when they're in Scotland. So just even that couple of days, just getting used to it, the surroundings, familiarity. I think, again, it's good management to get there just a little bit earlier than perhaps they would normally do. Settle into it. Everyone relax. I don't mean you can get away from them, because we know that phones are there and social media is there. But just detach yourself a little bit from all the publicity and, you know, everything that surrounds being in a European final.
Thanks again to David and the guys. I'd love to be a flying the wall in that camper van. The stranger. I'm just going to call him the stranger, see how he fits in. Jack is a Rangers fan in Shettleston. I mean, you're in Shettleston, Jack. You're staying there. You're not heading over, are you?
No, I'm staying here, guys. I'm staying here. Unfortunately, the price was too much.
Well, do you know what, Jack? We were starting to feel left out, being stuck in this miserable weather. So at least we've got some sort of company. What are you thinking then ahead of the game? What's your main thoughts?
Just to put my point, really. Hopefully, Rangers win. But as I say, I go from hour to hour thinking I will do it. And then like, no, God, they put out West Ham and Barca, and it goes from hour to hour. That changed my mind. You know, it's just mere hope than anything else. But my point is, like, if Rangers win the Europa League, would this be up with Leicester winning the Premier League, considering how much Rangers' squad has been bought for and how much money they've got compared to the teams they've put out?
The Leicester story was one that captured the imagination, and the fairy tale actually came true. Every week you thought, well, the balloon will burst now, but it never did. So it's forever enshrined in the memory. But if Rangers did win the Europa League, Jack, then yeah, of course it would be like that, because no one in their wildest dreams thought that that would be possible at the start of the season. This is a season in which Rangers have changed manager. in which they have lost the title they won just last season. But when it came to European competition, they were unfailingly good. They had one minor blip against Braga and they made up for it. So, yeah, it would be, given the size of our country, given how infrequently Scottish teams win European trophies, 39 years since Aberdeen won in Gothenburg against Real Madrid. So, yeah, it would be a Scottish version of Leicester City.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Jack, I think everyone is always looking to try and pitch, you know, what level of success is in comparison to other eras or other teams. For me, I think that you just enjoy it for where it is today, rather than look to compare it with someone else. I think because everyone will have their views on these things, and you're never going to be in agreement. I think for Rangers to have 18 games already, I think this will be the 19th game in Europe. It's a tremendously difficult tournament, as you mentioned. Some of the teams that are now out, like West Ham and Barcelona and Borussia Dortmund, and you know, a number of other teams, Atalanta, I think there's so many top teams not there. So I think enjoy it rather than look to see whether it's as big an achievement as someone else's. Not, I think that the comparable thing is irrelevant in this particular case. It's just about how a momentous occasion it will be for Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah. I think it sums up the feeling perfectly when Jack says, you know, he's confident 1 minute and then he's feeling the worst the next. That'll just swing back and forward until 2 minutes to eight on Wednesday night, I would imagine. I mean, Jack, how much confidence does it give you seeing what Rangers have done en route to the final and even what some of these players have achieved in previous seasons in European competition?
No, it definitely does. But then if you look at it, like, against Leipzig, we can beat away, but then we're really confident about the Ibrox, because without Ibrox, we're not going to get this time. So, because that Ibrox will give the players an extra few yards and an extra more push, but we're not going to get it this time. So, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen, really, but that's the worry. You know what I mean? So,
it's a fair point, Hugh, because we've spent a lot of time focusing on how well Rangers have done, and they have. This is not to say that's not the case, but Ibrox has played a huge part in that. You look at the run, the victory in Dortmund, I think, is the only away victory in the entire competition. Because you can do that, you know, if you've got two legs, you know, you can manage it. And Ibrox has been unbelievable. Teams have come and been blown away time and time again. This obviously won't. It's just not possible on this occasion.
I just be lifted by the occasion itself. You know, they'll go out there. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst will speak to them in the dressing room beforehand and underline the nature of the occasion. You the chance to make history. I think Jack is just displaying all the signs of the normal everyday supporter. He's talking about that's a worry. Having watched his team put out Dortmund and Leipzig and Braga and all the rest of it, you know. And at the same time, he needs context. He needs to know, where does this rank if we get this trophy? So that's fine. Jack is displaying all the symptoms of the normal, everyday supporter who will find sleep difficult tonight and on Tuesday.
I'm still thinking about David and the guys who are now just on the Clydeside Expressway on their way to Seville. They're making good progress.
They're probably their
it's
first
also,
piece
do, you know what, do you know what I forgot to mention as well? I can't believe he left this bit out. Seriously, David obviously froze in his big moment on the radio. He's just told producer Callum it's also his wedding anniversary.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, listen, there's some different ways to celebrate your wedding anniversary. So congratulations, David.
He's a brave man. Thanks to Jack.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Golden Goals.
I don't know, hypothetically, you've spent too much money hiring a camper van and you've forgotten your anniversary, so you've got a lot of making up to do. Something like that. You need some money. Well, how does over £36,000 in tax-free cash sound? You have got less than 1 week to enter Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals. I know you a lot better than you think. I know some of you have been putting this off, listening to me every night and thinking, I've got till the end of the season. Well, it's the end of the season, so do not put this any longer. We had 9 goals at the weekend for Celtic and Rangers combined. That pushed us over the 36 grand barrier. And there are 2 more games to go for Rangers, so that means the jackpot could and should be even higher. But you can't win if you don't enter. Time is running out. So if you want to be over £36,000 richer, and who doesn't, then text GOAL to 61025, G-O-A-L to 61025. It is £2 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only, and the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close after the cup final on Saturday, 6pm Saturday the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner one more time, text GOAL to 61025. More calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are in the building, and they're both wanting to hear from you. Some of you are miles away from the building, quite frankly, on your way to Seville. So get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. I see some breaking news actually, that our old pal Alex Ray is staying on as the Reading assistant manager. Paul Ince has got the job. And all I can think, Hugh, some people will do anything to avoid being bottom of the Beat the Pundit table. The embarrassment was too much, and he's gone.
Or giving me a lift home. I mean, my driver's gone. But he's done well. He and Paul Ince have done exceptionally well. They fulfilled the remit. They were asked to keep Reading up. They did.
Still bottom of the table, Alex. Do not think we've forgotten. 01419511025. Let's hear from Ian, who's a Rangers fan from Shots. Same question to you, Ian. Are you in Shots or somewhere else at the moment?
We're currently driving through somewhere in France. Destination unknown.
As soon as the cheer started, Hugh, I thought, oh, that's not Shots. And I was going to say, no one cheers to be in Shots. No, that's unfair to the lovely people of
a
wonderful part of the country.
Destination unknown. Yeah. I was lost in France. Was that Bonnie Tyler?
Yeah.
Right, Ian, come on then. How many of you? What are you in? A car, a camper van, a horse and cart? What is it?
There's four of us cramped into a big Mondeo. But it's Nakham.
Is that the Mondeo or the driver?
And have you got one designated driver? Are you splitting the responsibility?
There's three doing shifts on it. It's my shift, isn't it, the night?
So hold on, who's the one person that doesn't need to drive this entire trip?
Oh, the young brother, Gary Barr. He's the only one that's drinking it before he is.
Well, I hope so, given that the other three of you are driving. Gary Barr is the luckiest man in the world, Jim. Four of them. He's the only one that's not driving.
Yeah, I must admit, on occasion, Gordon, I've taken people home who have had a few drinks.
But you're talking like city centre to Maryhill.
I'm talking 20 minutes, and 20 minutes is 20 minutes too long. So driving for 2 or 3 days, Ian, my sympathy goes out to whoever is the driver, because I know they all want to celebrate and want to enjoy themselves, but you have to be disciplined. But hopefully there's not too many sombreros in that sort of Mondeo as well, because you'll never be able to move. But as long as everyone is safe and enjoying it, make sure the car's in good condition.
Ian, what's the plan? Match? Have you got tickets for the stadium? Is that a fan zone? Is that still unknown?
We've got tickets for the other stadium. See the one that's got the screens in it. We've got 4 tickets for that. But see, the hardest part of this trip was trying to order a Burger King in French.
What is French for Whopper, Hugh? You're good with your French.
No, is that like Pulp Fiction when you ask that question? I think Samuel L. Jackson.
Je ne sais quoi.
Ian, when are you due to arrive?
We should get there maybe about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,
we're only about 20 miles from the border.
That sounds good to me, Hugh. That sounds like they're making fine progress.
I think was it Jackie earlier on that was driving, or David, that said that they were going to get at 3 a.m. anyway. So there's obviously a convoy that's all going to merge into Seville at 3 a.m. I think those Seville bars and restaurants better make sure they've got a late license.
How do you feel about the game, Ian?
I'm confident, very confident. I honestly think we'll win 2-1.
I feel like, again, I said it, I feel there must be a level of confidence, Hugh. If you're going to turn up and say, you know, we're definitely going to win it and Frankfurt shouldn't turn up, that's obviously crazy. But if you've done what Rangers have done to get here, you can at the same time acknowledge that Frankfurt are obviously decent, that's why they're here, whilst remembering that they're not a European superpower. So you must have a level of confidence, every fan that phones, surely.
Well, on the basis of results achieved in the competition this season, of course you must have a level of confidence. At the same time, in Super Scoreboard in Frankfurt tonight, they're saying, of course you must have a level of confidence because we've beaten Barcelona, we've beaten West Ham. So it's an even match, and fans like Ian and Jack and David before him will go through all the agonies. But Ian says 2-1, and you know, If he still feels that way when he wakes up on Wednesday morning in the Mondeo, that'll be fine.
I think they might have to stay a few extra days. Ian, have you any plans for staying a little bit longer if you win? Because obviously you will be celebrating, so there's no way you can drive back straight after the game, surely, if Rangers
well,
win.
Out the 4 years, there's only one Disney drink at all, so we'll leave maybe about 2 or 3 in the morning after we get a celebrate, another one will drive.
Wow, straight back into the car. And back in time for the cup final.
Back in time for the cup final. And the parade on the Sunday, we hope.
Ian, yeah. I wish you well, honestly. The thought of it, brilliant. That was Ian in France, was it? From
somewhere
Shots.
In France,
just leaving a Burger King drive through. In France somewhere. Thank you to Ian and the guys in the Mondeo. Keep a lookout for them if you can. That's my real aim, right? I'm easily amused. My aim here is that we can connect people who are on their own journeys to Seville. So somewhere else in France, someone is listening, sees the Mondeo and thinks, I just heard them, because I can spot the Burger King wrapper floating about in the back.
Follow them.
Ian from Shots, thank you very much. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's keep going. Roger is in Uddingston. You're back. You're definitely in Uddingston though, Roger. You've not got some journey to tell me about, do you?
Even guys, even Jim, even
hi, Roger.
Thank you. Listen, I am going out tomorrow morning. My son finished his night shift. He's coming straight here. And then there's 5 of us driving from here to Cardiff. And then Cardiff at 6:20 flight tomorrow night to Cardiff to Faro. Overnight stay in Faro. Hire car, meet my pal and his boy driving to Seville. And then we'll go into one of the fan zones. I think it's the ground where Celtic Porto played in 2003. Mm-hmm. We'll get tickets for that. And then hopefully we'll see Mr. Tavernier lift the trophy. And then it's back to overnight stay in Seville. And coming back, Faro, Madrid, Lanzarote, Cardiff, and drive back up. Hopefully, pay for the cup final on Saturday.
That's unbelievable.
listen, Roger, Hugh actually lost a pair of sandals in that stadium back in 2003. Yeah. They slipped out of his bag, so if you can pick them up and send them here,
still
just
white
Calamo,
ankle socks attached them.
He'll pay for the postage if you can send them back. But Hugh, that's going to be the reality. It doesn't take a brilliant mathematician to figure out that the vast majority of people going won't be in the stadium. There's only 9,000 tickets. Yeah. It'll be, I don't know, 10 times that, you would imagine, fans going over. So I mean, fan zones and everywhere else, that's going to be the majority.
I said of Roger and others, they're clocking up air miles that an astronaut would be proud of. And to go all that way to watch it on a screen, when you could have stayed in the house and watched it on a screen. But
it's the atmosphere, it's the journey.
Yeah, of course it is.
Being a fan.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, you might never in your lifetime have that opportunity again.
No.
Be in that environment.
I remember in Seville, 2003, meeting Jim Kerr, Simple Minds. Mm-hmm. And he came over the road to say, "Hugh." And he's like, I've just been embraced by Jim Kerr.
Name dropping, Jim.
I know, that's it. There'll be all sorts of people now. Mm. But the thing about fans is as Roger saying, you know, that those type of journeys, you know, particularly if Rangers win it, you know, it's almost like, you know, you score a 15-yarder, but 25 years later, it's a 40-yarder. So before you know it, Rogers went from, you know, from here to, you know, all the dotty.
He's
going
to say I travelled for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
to
but
get
another
there.
4 or 5 countries getting mentioned. The longer this stays in the mind. But listen, it's a fantastic for all the fans to do that, and it just shows you how much the club means to them. Because anyone who puts in that amount of effort to get there and watch it in a fan zone just has to be applauded.
Roger, I wonder if, and we'll maybe find out the difference here when we get through the calls. The fans who are travelling, I wonder if you're too busy thinking about your travel to have actually thought about the game yet, and whether the nerves are setting in for the game, or if this stuff's a nice distraction.
You know, I think it was at a caller a couple of 20 minutes or so, and I'm the same. At 1 minute I'm thinking, you know, we can do it because we've beaten all these good teams. Then I thought, well, they're a good team as well. They put a lot of good teams, and it's a 50-50. It's not Ibrox, we've not got the Rockies fans behind us. They'll have their Rockies fans, we'll have ours. It's for a perfect storm for a perfect football match. I generally can't wait. Yeah, I've been tossing and turning. It's only just hit me today. I finished work 2 days. I'm off for the next 4 days, and that's just probably travelling. I'm going with my two sons. My youngest son, he's 21 in June, so his Christmas, his birthday present was Braga. So I went to Braga, and my oldest son's 30, he's just turned 30, so this is his present. to go to the final. But as you rightly say, we're fans and you've been in my city. I've got a lot of pals, Celtic fans were there in 2003. And it's just what the Glaswegians do. It's just what the Scots do. And I just can't wait. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, this doesn't take the pressure off you because you want to win every game that you're in. So that's why Roger feels the way he does. Uh-huh. But the number of times Scottish clubs make it to European finals, which is not very many, you look at the way that Rangers' run to Manchester was lauded, you look at the way Celtic fans celebrated getting to Seville. So there is an achievement already done. It's already ticked off. I'm not saying you then just kick back and don't care if you win the game, but you know, even getting this far, there should be a sense of satisfaction there, surely.
I think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst should be glad that his players are not listening to this programme, because
they might be.
If you allowed players to listen for 2 hours to stories of how people are getting there, how they're getting back, how they're ignoring their wedding anniversary, how it's their
kids' birthdays,
yeah, and Mondeo cars. I'm not being a driver, I don't know what Mondeo car is, but if you were a Rangers player listening to this, you'd be thinking, how could we let these people down now? All right, we've done the hard part, we've got here, we have been magnificent against Borussia Dortmund and Leipzig and Braga. How could we let people down now?
You never know, Jim. I wonder if the right amount of that stuff is good for you.
Yeah.
Knowing what's at stake and spurring you on and seeing what it means to people.
Yeah, I think there's elements of that. You know, we can only speak for Rangers. Obviously, there's a similar scenario with Eintracht Frankfurt. But for Rangers, I think the more nervous occasion was the semi-final. I definitely do. You know, you could see that nervousness when it went to 2-1, and you could sense it in the ground. As I said, right up until that moment, the Rangers fans were unbelievable, driving their team forward. But as soon as Braga scored, everyone got a little bit nervous. All of a sudden, a couple of back passes and square passes were, oh, everybody's like, oh, wait a minute, what are we doing here? But to get over that hurdle, I think, is actually release the pressure a little bit. Because as you say, Gordon, yeah, you listen, you're not just turning up there for the occasion, you want to win it. But I do believe that nervousness was more in the semi-final than it would be in the final. I think the final will be an occasion. And you're right, 9,000 tickets, are probably about 15,000 Rangers fans in the ground. They'll get tickets here, left, right and centre, from everywhere, similar to Frankfurt. So there'll still be an enormous Rangers contingent there in comparison to the whole crowd. And I think there'll be a fantastic atmosphere. But for me, I think they will be a little bit more relaxed than they may well have been To the semi-final.
Roger, good man. Safe travels. Enjoy your trip. That was Roger in Uddingston, about to go to Cardiff and Faro and Seville and Milan and Lanzarote and so on, and maybe Hamden at the weekend if he makes it. Rangers have arrived in Seville, by the way. I'm sure you saw the pictures earlier of them at Glasgow Airport. They are now in Seville. They've come off the plane. They've boarded the team bus. Kemar Roofe is there. I wonder what you read into that, Rangers fans. Pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. And we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And by and large, we've been hearing from Rangers fans somewhere between here and Seville. It's been great fun. I'm just imagining all the journeys, all the different combinations, destinations, and some of the conversations that will be going on in the cars as well. Honoured, actually humbled, that you would be listening to us whilst you're on your way there. That really does mean a lot to us. So keep in touch, pick up the phone and let us know your feelings. And I believe actually after 7 o'clock, are we going to be crossing to Seville live for the first time this week? So I'm looking forward to that in the not too distant future. Producer Callum's shaking his head at me as if that might not happen. Are we not? No? Oh, all right, okay. I thought
a shake or a nod.
Yeah, he did nod at nodded at first, didn't he? Right, okay, never mind. Maybe we're not. False advertising. But we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Graham Gunion's on Twitter. He says, I'm loving these stories of how everyone is getting to Seville. Not for me though. I'm getting married 2 p.m. Friday afternoon. Any other weekend I'd be there. I'm not trusted to be back in time, apparently. That's for the best, isn't it? Let's be honest.
The bride's allowed to be late, not the groom, especially coming back from Seville. And you imagine if Rangers won, that would be I think
did you read the Graham Souness story?
No.
He's in Spain. He'll be in Spain on Wednesday, but he can't go to the game. His daughter's getting married in another part of Spain.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And there are loads like this. I was in Glasgow Airport today, working, just turning round and coming back, and saw a gentleman, big old Rangers tattoo on his leg, and he said, "Oh, you know, Gordon, are you heading over?" "Sadly not. I assume you are." "No, I'm going to Marmaris with the missus. I booked this last year. I have to go." In Turkey. So that's a busy old time of year. So anyway, listen, there's some good Rangers stuff coming up in about 10 minutes time, 15 minutes just after 7 o'clock. So let's take the opportunity to hear from Ange Postecoglou, because it was a monumental weekend for Celtic. This time last year, disaster, catastrophe, as Hugh would say. Everyone writing them off, so much negativity, no manager, and so on. And now they've got their hands on the Premiership trophy. How did it feel to Ange Postecoglou?
It's hard to put into words because, yeah, everyone knows the story. We've worked so hard and you know, we've had to sort of had a real narrow focus about what we were trying to achieve this year, not get distracted. And, you know, when you've got that sort of tunnel vision and then you finally get there. And to be fair, you know, we won it Wednesday night, but you got the sense even then the players and even the staff were, you know, it's still not job done, you know. We want to finish it off in the right way today. And, you know, every week I challenge them, every game I said, look, let's make today's game our best game of the year. You know, it doesn't always happen, but you go in there with that intent. And it was the same today, you know. And so, you know, when I kind of think about, because they're human beings, they're not robots, the fact that, again, you know, this group, you know, produced a performance like that when, you know, for all intents and purposes, they didn't have to. It's just, I guess pride's the biggest thing, because you kind of get to this point and you look around at, you know, the joy it brings people, whether that's players, staff, people who work for the football club, our fans, and, you know, just take enormous pride out of it.
Oh, we've said it before, Hugh, it's the rarest of circumstances in Scottish football where you get to mid-May and both sets of fans have got something to be happy about. Now, we could extend this phone into 5 a.m. talking about who should be happier, but I don't think you need that. No. You just acknowledge that for the first time in a long time, it's mid-May and they've both got something to be happy about. You saw what it meant to the Celtic fans to get that trophy at the weekend.
Ange had me worried there when he started off with, it's hard to put into words, because I've rarely heard a more articulate representative of his club than Ange Postecoglou. Everything he says is memorable. And I would slightly take issue with him saying that at the end of the day, they're human beings and not robots. There was an almost robotic consistency about Celtic, and that's why they're champions, because after 6 games, everyone knows the picture. They'd lost 50% of them. The next 32 games, 32, not one defeat. So there was a robotic but entertaining quality about Celtic. 32 games, the last one of all, turned out to be as memorable and as entertaining as any of them, 6-0 against Motherwell. So 32 games in a row, no defeats. That's why they won the title.
Jim, I know you were all across that game at the weekend, yeah. So we'll get your thoughts once Robbie on the line gets introduced. What's on your mind as a Celtic fan this weekend, or at the end of this weekend, Robbie?
Good evening, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, I was at the game on Saturday, and I was happy with Celtic's performance. I was actually quite glad that Ange Postecoglou put out a pretty much full strength team, rather than just flood it with 5 or 6 youngsters or guys that have not been playing a lot recently. Because at the end of the day, is the last game of the season, trophy day, I can see his point. He wanted to go out the way he did, you know, playing well and looking for a good performance and a good result. And going by the result and the performance that they got on the day, that's fully vindicated his decision to put out that full strength team. Now, going on to next season, I'd like to make my point to Jim Duffy. Jim, a lot of the Celtic fans, as you know, Jack Amakis and Kyogo are very different strikers, but they're quite prolific. And a lot of Celtic fans have been saying, we need to get the two of them in the team at the same time. Now, going by Ange Postecoglou's history, he doesn't play a 3-5-2 or a 4-4-2, but in Japan, now, the season that he won the J-League with Yokohama Marinos, he actually played the 4-2-3-1 system 50% of his games, and the system he plays just now, the 4-3-3, I think it was only 12%. So history shows he does play the 4-2-3-1, which Neil Lennon played and Van Bronckhorst plays with it just now with Rangers. I was just wondering, Jim, do you think that Kyogo and Jack Amakis in the 4-2-3-1, if Ange does play it next season, you could maybe play Kyogo just behind Jack Amakis in the number 10 position?
What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, not for me, Robbie. I think you also look at the amount of goals Celtic scored an absolutely unbelievable amount of goals. Kyogo scored 20 goals in all competitions, having missed pretty much half a season. Giannoumakis almost similar, ended up finished joint top league goal scorer with Hongbo, I think it was at
Regan Charles Cook,
up at Ross County. Again, you know, it took a long time to settle in and get yourself fit and stuff like that. So no, I think you're right in what you say. They're completely different strikers, and you need that. You need those type of options. Kyogo can play wide. Listen, a little bit to see whether the two of them play in the same team. But if it is, Kyogo would play in the wide area, and Giannoumakis would play through the middle. There's obviously a big decision to be made on Jota. Can they sign him? Can they afford them? Does he want to be there? All these sort of things. Celtic obviously would love to have him. He was a huge player for Celtic as well. But no, I don't think, Robbie, and I think we've had, you know, this discussion before with previous managers as well who play one striker. It's pretty common. In fact, it's the most common. It's rare now, as you say, unless someone plays three at the back, that someone will play two. Mm-hmm. And playing that one behind, because Kyogo wants to play higher up. He wants to play on the shoulder. His goal at the weekend, as we mentioned at the start of the programme, Gordon, spinning in behind, getting in behind on the shoulder of defenders, that's where he's electric, that's where he's dynamic, and that's where he's the most effective. So I don't see him playing in those little pockets. It's not his style. Giannoumakis, you know, obviously higher up, he's more a penalty box player and linking up the play. But for me, I think Celtic at this moment in time have got two fantastic strikers. I think a pre-season behind them, they've now got the knowledge of a Scottish game, they've got the knowledge of the way the manager works as well, and their teammates, I think they'll be even better if they stay fit next year. Both of them could score over 20 goals relatively comfortably the way, and just going on about, I thought Celtic were breathtaking at the weekend, absolutely breathtaking. I think they were a joy to watch. The football they played at times was exhilarating, and I think, you know, on a beautiful sunny day when Celtic were getting presented with the trophy, they couldn't give their fans any more of a send-off in the manner that they achieved it.
Robbie, how did it feel to see it all finalised, if you like? I know you knew Celtic had won the league anyway, but trophy day, it seemed from here there was a real air of celebration about it all.
Yeah, it was a really, really good day, Gordon. I'm not a season ticket holder, but I go to most of the games. I was at most of the, well, all the European games and the cup games that were at Celtic Park. I would just like to make a point about Ediguchi to Jim, and obviously Hugh can chip in as well. How much do you think he can play next season, Jim? See, when he's came on, funnily enough, everybody thinks him as this number six, the holding midfielder. But when he actually came on in the quarter-final of the Scottish Cup, came on as a sub after his injury, that was against Raith Rovers at Celtic Park. He actually came on as a number eight position, and again at the weekend he came on as a number eight, and he was putting off, there was a good ball he played through to Jack Amakis. Again, I'm going to go back to what we could see from him, because one of the Japanese journalists says that the thing about Ediguchi is he's quite hot and cold. If Ange can get a good tune out of him, he's got an absolutely outstanding player. He was actually the G League's
promising player.
Yeah.
I think on the basis that
the chance to see much of him here, have we?
On the basis that Ange Postecoglou brought him to Glasgow, then he clearly feels he can get a tune out of him. You're right, Gordon. None of us have seen enough of Ediguchi to know where he ranks. You know, Maeda, first class signing. Kyogo, goes without saying, first class signing. Rio Hatate, first class signing. Ediguchi was very unfortunate to play against Alloa on that day when the tackling was a bit out of control.
Robust.
Well, have it your own way. But we don't know. But we will know all about him for sure at the start of next season.
Thank you, Robbie. Any other thoughts on Trophy Day at Celtic Park? You're more than welcome to get those calls in. In the meantime, it's time for us to kick off yet another weekend of another week, I should say, of this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, don't miss out. This is your final week of the season on Beat the Pundit. I know some of you have been listening all season long and thinking, I could do that, I know more than them. Well, now is the chance to step up to the plate. 01419511025. Lines close at 7. Your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans are here. What a week we have in store. Rangers fans are on their way to Seville, the team are there already. Celtic are celebrating getting their hands on the Premiership trophy at the weekend. Relegation and promotion pretty much sorted in all the divisions, apart from either Inverness or St Johnstone to decide who will play in the top flight next season. So there is a lot going on. 01419511025. We are going to hear some more Rangers content after this, because this is always a fixture of the evening.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Producer Callum, how many do we have left? Six shows, six Beat the Pundits if you like, two sign balls. That's all we ask from you, is that you manage that ratio. Two balls, six shows, don't blow it, alright?
Too much pressure.
Sammy is in Greenock, how's it going, Sammy?
Aye, not too bad. How are you?
Good, not bad at all. Are you feeling confident?
I don't know. Not done it for a while.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, so you've played before a while ago, have you?
I've been on a few times, aye.
He's a serial player, but can't be. Can't be.
A couple of balls back, because we're running out of shot. We're getting shot.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But listen, hopefully it doesn't get to that, because hopefully you two do the business. Now, I'm always team listener, always, but I think, you know, in these circumstances, producer Callum's panicking, the credit card's been strained. I might need to back you two tonight. So what we'll do is we will toss the coin. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it is heads. It's Hugh up against Sammy from Greenock. So let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to, so that he doesn't steal the answer. Sammy, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which Spanish side topped Rangers Champions League group during their 08 UEFA Cup final run?
Barcelona.
Who managed Celtic the last time they won the league not as reigning champions?
Martin O'Neill.
Name the only person to score a Scottish Premiership hat-trick at the weekend.
Pass.
How many teams did Craig Beattie win the Scottish Cup with?
Two.
Which goalkeeper made the most saves in the Scottish top flight this season?
Craig Gordon.
Name either player sent off for Rangers this season.
In the league, Kamara.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
Same set of questions, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah, producer Callum's been making them very tough towards the end of the season. It's obviously doesn't want to give the sign balls away. Anyway, Hugh, are you ready?
I am.
Which Spanish side topped Rangers Champions League group during their 08 UEFA Cup final run?
Valencia.
Who managed Celtic the last time they won the league not as reigning champions?
Martin O'Neill.
Name the only person to score a Scottish Premiership hat-trick at the weekend.
James Scott.
How many teams did Craig Beattie win the Scottish Cup with?
Two.
Which goalkeeper made the most saves in the Scottish top flight this season?
Craig Gordon.
Name either player sent off for Rangers in the league this season.
Aribo.
Okay, Sammy, what do you think? What's the verdict?
Oh, I didn't do too well there.
Well, you got the first one right and you didn't. So you went 1-0 in front. Barcelona. So Rangers dropped out of the Champions League into the UEFA Cup and went to the final. Who managed Celtic the last time they won the league not as reigning champions? It was Neil Lennon, the 2011-12 season. Oh. You both went Martin O'Neill, incidentally. So it's 1-0 to Sammy at this stage. The only player to score a Scottish Premiership hat-trick at the weekend was James Scott. So it's an equaliser for Sammy. Craig Beattie won the Scottish Cup with two teams, Celtic and Hearts. Craig Gordon made the most saves, so we're level after five questions. It's a good game. And name either player sent off for Rangers in the league this season. Just a couple of weeks ago, Hugh, Balogun, Fir Park, or Ryan Kent against Aberdeen. So none of you got it, which means we're on to the tiebreaker. Sammy, are you up for that?
Aye, maybe.
Oh, end of my season playoff.
Oh, look at this question as well. This is brutal. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to ask the question. I'll get Hugh to write his answer down, and I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Sammy. Okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. The top five longest serving players in the Scottish Premiership are Considine, Stevenson, Hanlon, Davidson and Forrest. How many years have they been at their clubs combined? The top five longest serving players in the Premiership: Considine, Stevenson, Hanlon, Davidson and Forrest. How many years at their clubs combined? Hugh, show me your answer, please. Okay, Sammy, what are you going for?
68.
Oh no, oh no, I hate when this happens. Oh, this is a twice a season phenomenon at worst. Hugh said 68 as well. What a nightmare.
Is it a hidden camera?
Oh no. Do you know what's brutal about that? You've both done spectacularly well. It's 66.
Oh.
So on another night, right, back up tiebreaker it is. Get ready, get your pen ready again, Hugh. How many career goals did Chris Boyd score for club and country? Write it down, please. How many career goals did Chris Boyd score for club and country? Write it down. Show me your answer, please. Okay, what are you going for, Sammy?
278.
Hugh Keevan says 215. The answer is 300. Well done, Sammy. Oh. On a second tiebreaker. The super scoreboard equivalent of a penalty shootout that goes to sudden death. Well done.
That was revenge, Hugh. You beat me before.
Oh, well, good luck, Sammy. That was weird.
Best served cold. That means we're down to one sign ball for the rest of the season. Five shows left, one sign ball. No more defeats for the pundits. Well, one more, but you catch my drift.
It's pretty strange. Both of them take 68.
I hate when that happens, because usually I've only got one tiebreaker question, but luckily on this occasion, producer Callum was on standby with another. All right, 0141 951 1025. And we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Now, there's lots coming out of Rangers' trip to Seville, as you would expect. You know, we're talking about on the field and who plays, who doesn't, the chances of winning, talking about journeys to get there, trials and tribulations of getting a ticket. And it's gone even further than that. Now, I'm sure you've heard this, Hugh. I know you keep right up to speed with your popular culture. A local band have released a song inspired by Rangers reaching the Europa League final. I'm sure you've heard of St Phoenix, because here at Clyde One we play some of their songs on air fairly regularly. Brothers Stevie and Al Jukes make up the band. They are big Rangers fans, I don't think there's any secret. And they have been working away to try and come up with a tune to mark Rangers' journey to the Europa League final. You gave us something to believe. We follow you, so make us dream. Now make us dream. Now, what they didn't know when they wrote it is that you singing along to it and tapping your toe, that's as good as it gets. I think that's all the vindication that they need. Now, I'm pleased to say that we're joined on the line by them both. I think Stevie and Al are both on the line. How's it going, lads?
How's it going, everybody?
How's it going, guys?
Now, Hugh Keevans is tapping his toe along to the tune, so you've got a fan already. Things you never thought you would hear. Tell us a bit about the process then. I think it's obvious where the inspiration comes from, but the time frame and so on, when did you decide and how did this all come together?
We were at the Leipzig game, and we played the fan zone before it, and we got hospitality. It was a great game, and we had one too many drinks. And then after the final whistle, I said to one of the marketing guys, "Want to hear the song I've wrote, by the way? It's an absolute belter." And his eyes lit up, and I hadn't actually wrote the song. It was just an idea. And then I said to my manager about it, and he had emailed the record label and said to everybody that the boys have got the official song of Rangers, which was also not true. But so we had to get in the studio on the Sunday, and we spent all day and we put it together. But it's came together really well, and it's something that we're really proud of.
Yeah, see, I've got sources. You're right. I can vouch for that story. I've seen video footage of you two being sprayed in the face with champagne after that game. I'm not going to reveal where that came from, but that made its way to my phone this afternoon. And obviously you got some reaction, if you like, from the club. The club are on board with this and are all for it. That must be a hugely proud thing for you both.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. I think that you said Deborah in the couple of minutes ago, we're no secret, we're Rangers fans, we're season ticket holders for years, and you know, we special over our last couple of songs. You know, we think that being inspired by something and writing something that inspires you is very important as in a band and being an artist. And when we saw that, we had to write it right away.
So what's the plan then? I made a bit of a backside of myself, and I'm just going to blame you two. So earlier on in the show, I said we're going to go live to Seville, and this is what I had in mind because I thought you two were there. Now you're not, but you are going. Yes.
Yes, God, we're travelling tomorrow. Right now we're at Glasgow Fort buying shorts. I'm putting a wee bit of weight, so my shorts don't fit me in the house.
Priorities. Listen, rock stars like yourself must have a more easy journey than some that we've been hearing. What's the route?
We're lucky. We're going straight to Seville.
I knew it.
You know, we have
the private jet.
He's wearing shorts, I'm wearing leather trousers, so ready to go.
I knew it, Hugh. You can't have even local rock stars traipsing through different countries and continents. You've got to go the direct route.
Just wondering if Stevie and Al, when they get back, you know, I mean, in my Christmas videos I've had Shaking Stevens and Jim Kerr and, you know, people like that. I'm just wondering if they could write a song that features Specky Tube.
We'll definitely write a song about eating cold beans to you.
Good man.
How to make that sound interesting. Right,
sure, the sound effects there.
That's plenty. People are eating their dinner. Right, with the Rangers hat on then, you know, as fans, and I guess a little bit in terms of what you're doing musically, what does it mean to you to sort of have this opportunity? What does it mean to you personally?
It's just, I think that being the final is kind of a once in a lifetime thing. Obviously, we got to Manchester the last time, but we didn't do it. But I think we've got a genuine chance of winning. We've outscored every team we've come up against. We've put in some amazing European performances, and it feels good. And we're quietly confident. And I guess playing some small part along the way and just before the final is really special to us.
And I'm not sure you need any extra joy attached to a potential victory, but to have the song sort of played along with the celebrations, whether it's on videos or, you know, at stadiums or fan zones or whatever, you dreaming about that moment already?
Oh, I'd be. You know what it's like with fans up in Scotland. If we manage to bring home the trophy on Wednesday, then, you know, who knows what will happen. But again, we're just happy to be play a small part, and we just can't wait for Wednesday.
What I'm going to do, right, because I feel like we've bummed you up too much, just going to bring you crashing right back down to earth. Just a wee tongue-in-cheek one, just to remind you of how Glasgow works. You had been on the phone exactly 35 seconds when a Celtic fan phoned in to say that you've ripped the song off someone else. So I'll leave that with you, and I hope you two I hope you two enjoy the short shopping, enjoy the trip, and hopefully we speak to you soon.
Awesome, thanks guys.
Thank you.
Enjoy your trip.
Good man, that was Stevie and Alan from St Phoenix. Living the dream, Hugh Keevans. Combining your two loves.
Yeah, and very good. I can see that anthem.
Yeah, I can see it in your
places.
Record. I can see along your record collection. I can see it, Joni
She's
Mitchell.
Going to download it tonight.
Yeah,
I can see Joni Mitchell,
Patsy Cline.
Yeah, what's Tony Morrison, Bennett. Tony Bennett, and then straight into
Stevie and Alan.
St Phoenix. There we go. Well done to the guys. Hopefully they enjoy their trip tomorrow. Buying shorts. We've all been there, that post-lockdown when you try on stuff and you're like, That happened to me when I went for the black suit for Fraser's do. Oh, yeah, remember I had to get delivered here last minute? That was why.
A bit tight.
Anyway, well done again to the guys. And by all means, get out there and download the song. I'm not sure Hugh has the capability to do that, but the rest of you do, so go
there. Do it on a Nokia?
No, absolutely not. 01419511025. We've got Sarah Jane, who's a Rangers fan from Rutherglen. What's your plan over the next couple of days, Sarah Jane?
So we're actually travelling down in the car to Yorkshire just now. So we're staying here tonight, and then we're getting the flight from Liverpool tomorrow about 4 o'clock-ish to go over to Malaga. So hopefully we'll get into the fan zone from there. We'll get tickets for the fan zone on Wednesday, so we'll get the train through, hopefully, or a bus through to the fan zone.
Brilliant. How many of you are going then? What's the makeup? Who are you with?
My dad and my brother, so I'm still not over them going to Manchester without me when I was 8, so this is me getting my payback to my first final, European final, so yeah, I'm buzzing, absolutely buzzing.
How good is it to be able to share those experiences with your family? You know, we're having a bit of fun and poking fun at the journeys and so on. What does it mean to you to be able to share that?
It's amazing. But we go to Ibrox, we're all season ticket holders. I've been a season ticket holder since I was 8, and so is my brother. He's now 28. So we go to every game together, and we've been to every round up until now. So I'm absolutely delighted that we're going over. I'm buzzing. I've been knitting my dad's head to book tickets from before Leipzig, so we had our tickets booked from before then.
Brilliant. Now, and with no disrespect meant to some of the previous players and so on, you'll have had to endure some fairly dark moments, I guess, over that time as a season ticket holder. Does that make this even more special?
Absolutely. We've been, like, obviously going to all the matches from way down in the bottom of the leagues, and it's just amazing to be back where we're going, to be honest, and obviously now exceeding that. Obviously, let the league slip away this year, but we'll get there again next year, hopefully. But we'll focus on the Europa League final, hopefully bring that home. So I'm buzzing.
I mean, Jim Duffy, it was only 7 years ago. Your Morton side were going there and holding Rangers to a 2-2 draw, and now they're playing in European finals.
Yeah, listen, it's amazing for Sarah Jane and her family. She said there, you know, her brother and that, 20 years, you know, going and supporting the club through the difficult times, but then to reach a European final, it's fantastic. It's fantastic for the family. As I said, it's you know, the memories. I've spoken before about, you know, my own daughter saying wanting to go to Scotland in a major championship, and when Scotland did qualify, it was COVID, you know what I mean, down in England, and we, you know, and then things like that, and then the next ones, and I wonder if we do manage to get there in Qatar, which is so, you know, listen, for Sarah Jane and her family, it's absolutely incredible, and it's a fantastic experience, and, you know, going there on the trip, and that's all part of it. It's all part of the memories. It's all part of, you know, the something that's, it'll be lifelong in the memory for them all, and obviously if they win, it'll be extra special, and as I said, it'll be something that they can always, when the family get togethers, they can always remember the time they went to the Europa Cup final in Seville.
Sarah Jane, you've seen all the games then, you've been there. How much confidence do you have that this has a happy ending?
I think the nerves are just starting to kick in. I mean, I've been focused on getting there first of all, but I think the nerves are just starting to kick in now, but I think we can do it. I think it's 11 against 11 tomorrow and on Wednesday, sorry, and I think we've got enough to get over the line. I think the momentum of the team, like, they guys have just, they've been through everything together, and I think they're going to do it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's funny, Hugh, I wonder about the psychology, because, you know, losing the league in Glasgow is never ideal, obviously, but it was almost like Rangers had time to make their peace with it. You know, I wonder how different it would feel if they had lost it there at the weekend. Yeah. You know, like a last day,
last minute defeat,
heartbreak. Yeah. Had expected to win it.
No, the Rangers,
you know,
they've
had time to get over it. The Rangers players as well, they go into it in a good place, don't they? Rangers, as good a place as you can. Sorry,
the Rangers fans knew that they'd lost the league when Celtic won at Ibrox.
Yeah,
and everyone, as you say, had made their peace with it. Had it not been for the European run, they would have been upset. Sarah Jane would have been upset, and her brother and her father. However, the European run continued while the league form let down Rangers. So now it's all about beating Eintracht Frankfurt on Wednesday evening. And I repeat, Rangers are not there by some twist of fate. They are there because they had the performances and the results. They are there on merit. And they, for me, start the match as the favourites to win.
Sarah Jane, thank you very much. Safe trip to you and the family.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you. She's been sitting quietly waiting for that moment. I like that. Thank you very much to the folks there, somewhere between Rutherglen and Yorkshire to Liverpool to Malaga. And you get the picture by now. Speaking of European travels, how's about this?
Clyde One European football coverage with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, a multi-award winning law firm with a name you can trust.
Right, Hugh, I know you can't download tunes, right? So if you want to listen to that St. Phoenix song, maybe on an Amazon Echo Show, because we're giving away one of them along with a 58-inch Samsung 4K TV. I lost you a long time ago, I get that. But anyway,
you lost me at hello.
It's thank you to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation. They are our sponsors of European football coverage, and they're giving you the chance to win that fantastic prize. Now, these guys, a multi-award winning law firm offering high quality, discreet legal service in a wide range of matters, including criminal defence, family law, road traffic, public inquiries, personal injury, and loads more. Don't take my word for it. If you go to Clyde1.com, you can find out more about them and enter, most importantly, for your chance to win the 58-inch Samsung TV and Amazon Echo Show. So thanks again to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, who are sponsors of European football coverage, and we will take more of your calls next.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy here. It's 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. So keep the calls coming in. And by the way, don't be put off. See if you're just sitting quietly at home somewhere in Glasgow in the west, and that's where you will stay and watch the game on Wednesday. That's alright. You don't have to be put off, intimidated, Hugh, by everyone who's travelling all across the country. So get in touch, let us know what is on your mind. And of course, it was quite the weekend at Celtic Park as well, Hugh. What did you make of the sort of feeling, the emotion attached to it? What do you think this one meant in retrospect?
You know, I looked at the composition of the crowd, the 60,000. There were literally babes in arms. And I'm not talking about players and their wives and their children. I'm talking about in the crowd, from babes in arms to grannies. And high emotion. Ange Postecoglou has brought back the emotion to the Celtic supporters. They had a dreadful season prior to his arrival, and when he spoke, you could see people dabbing their eyes in the stadium. When he spoke, he left them with such a positive message. As I say, he's one of the most articulate spokesmen for the club I have ever heard. And he left them with the feeling that when they come back next season, it'll be even better. And as Jim Duffy said, the football on Saturday was breathtaking in places. The quality of the goals was outstanding. And they left the fans, if you're going to bring down the curtain on a season, bring it down like that.
Yeah, Jim, how do you reflect now that the dust is starting to settle? I think, you know, we mentioned it before, everyone has known for a while Celtic were going to be champions. Then they were over the line, but not officially. Then it became official, then they got the trophy. So maybe now a bit of time for reflection.
Well, the first thing is obviously Ange Postecoglou, he's very charismatic, and I think that's how he's endeared himself first and foremost to the media, and obviously the Celtic fans have embraced him, you know, pretty much even with the sticky start. But as you said, the 32 league games unbeaten, it's an incredible consistency. But the style of football as well, I think that's been vital to endear him to the Celtic fans, is the way they play football, the manner. It was obviously the recruitment has been absolutely outstanding in terms of the market he went to and the high level of success he's had from the players he's brought in. So overall, but yeah, it was an emotional day, obviously, with Tom Rogic and Niamh Beaton leaving after nearly 10 years. Callum McGregor winning his first time as official club captain, following on from Scott Brown. You know, but other guys like Callum McGregor, like James Forrest, adding to the unbelievable list of medals and winners' medals and trophies that they have. So there were so many positive aspects of the weekend there, and obviously winning after Rangers, you know, winning the previous year. So yeah, I mean, it'll be a huge summer for all of the clubs in Scotland, but I don't think it'll be as much for Celtic. I think Celtic have done most of their work, and as Ange Postecoglou has already said, there's a lot of work already going on in the background. So he's probably entitled to a wee break. He won't have much of it, but they'll certainly not have to do anywhere as near the amount of work that they had to do last summer. And I think it'll be a fantastic challenge next year, I think, between Celtic and Rangers, because Rangers in towards the end of the season as well have played very, very good, showing it. They've got some talented young players coming through. So I think it'll be a fantastic season next season. I think something to really look forward to. But Celtic are in a very, very strong position now, much better, miles better than they were last year.
Yeah, Hugh, there were a few hardy grown adults pretending they had something in their eye when Tom Rogic was going off. We were having a bit of a joke, saying, right, are we getting tears? And my goodness, we certainly did. When he got the standing ovation, he found it all pretty difficult, and I think that was reflected from a lot of fans.
Felt sorry for Niamh Beaton, as if, you know, Tom Rogic is leaving and Beaton's going to. You know, Beaton has had more games for Celtic than Rogic. He's won more trophies for Celtic than Tom Rogic. The pair of them go away with immense gratitude from the supporters. Tom Rogic gets it over Beaton because Tom Rogic has had iconic moments in a Celtic jersey. The winning of the cup final against Aberdeen, and the thunder and lightning, and he takes the ball and scores in the last minute. The number of goals that he scored against Rangers, that always endears you to the Celtic fans. So he'll be a miss, Tom Rogic. But get the feeling that Ange Postecoglou has the little black book out and he's got all the names in it that he wants there next season.
Right, we're going to speak to William in just a second. So speaking of winners' medals, let me set up your teaser for tonight. Fulltime at Clyde1.com is the address. Alex McLean got in touch there. He says Joe Hart became the 12th player to win a league winners' medal in England and Scotland since the start of the English Premier League era. So top flight.
So that was 92.
So Joe Hart became the 12th player to win a top flight winners' medal in England and Scotland since the start of the English Premier League era, 92. Can you name the other 11?
Okay. Chris Sutton.
Yes, well done. Any that spring to mind, Hugh Keevans?
Henrik Larsson.
Ian Wright. Yes, Larsson. Yes, Ian Wright. No. Some big names in there.
Yeah.
Couple of Scots, by the way. Not too many, as you might imagine. Well,
no.
There won't be many who won it up here and then went on to win it down there.
No.
But there is one.
Virgil van Dijk.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll see how you get on. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's how you hear your question used. That's what Alex did tonight. And he wants you to name all the other previous winners of top flight medals in England and Scotland in the English Premier League era before Joe Hart did it at the weekend. Let's bring in William, who is a Rangers fan from Drumchapel. I feel like I have to ask everyone tonight, William, are you actually in Drumchapel? Are you somewhere else? What's happening?
Right now I'm sitting at the airport waiting for my cousin coming off a flight to Northern Ireland.
Right, so you're meeting up. Where are we? Glasgow, Edinburgh, Prestwick, where are we?
I'm outside Glasgow Airport right now picking my cousin up, and then tomorrow we're going from Edinburgh to Frankfurt.
Right, William's line's a bit ropey, so we'll get him cleared
that's
up.
That's an unusual one. Actually passing through Frankfurt.
Have we not heard that one before? Do you want to tick that off?
I don't think that's been on the flight plan that we've heard before.
My first European trip with Motherwell, we went via Frankfurt. Stayed at Frankfurt Airport for the night, and it was not very memorable. That's all I've got for you. I can't tell you any more.
You would have thought that that would have been as busy as coming from Glasgow because with all the Frankfurt fans. So how does it work?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. William, I think we've got you back,
well,
William.
30,000 went to Barcelona, so you would imagine it'd be packed going to Seville.
So last we checked, William, you were going via Frankfurt. How does that work? Have all the German fans not taken all the flights from there?
Well, at the time we were looking at flights, it was the easiest route rather than going over the roundabout ways. Some of my pals are going through Malaga, others are going through Faro. I just said, well, we'll go for that.
So where are you going to Spain? Where in Spain are you going first?
Seville.
Oh, you're going straight to Seville from all right, lovely.
Yes, we're going to Frankfurt tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, and we've got a 6-hour layover in the airport, and then at 5 to 5 in the morning we get our flight into Seville, and we're there for 8 o'clock in the morning.
I think you're right, Hugh. This is in a roundabout way one of my favourites. This is intriguing. Yeah. How is there a direct flight from Frankfurt to Seville? How have all the mad Frankfurt fans not taken it? How does a guy from Drumchapel manage to get on it?
Well, how he got on it is a question that only William can answer, but I guarantee he'll be sitting in the company of loads of Frankfurt fans.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. I mean, William, you said you're meeting your cousin coming over from Northern Ireland. Is that something you do regularly to go to games together, or is this a special occasion to reunite you both?
It's a special occasion, but he comes out quite regularly. He's got his season ticket. He comes out to the home games quite a lot of that.
Brilliant, that'll be good. That'll be good fun. And what about when you get there then? Happy trip back? Is it going to be in the knowledge that you are Europa League winners, or do you have your doubts?
No, I'm confident. We're coming home champions.
Certainly seems that way. Seems to be a lot of confidence out there. Jim, it's unpopular that we actually talk about the football and what happens on the pitch. We're just loving the journeys. Kamal Roof was on the plane today. I kept looking to see if an Alfredo Morelos in disguise was going to make a dramatic appearance, but I don't think he did. What do you make of Kamal Roof's appearance on the flight? And do you think that means he plays a part, or?
Yeah, I think it means he plays a part. I think he'll be on the bench if he's got any chance of taking part. Obviously, the game could go all the way to extra time and possibly even penalties. So, you know, you would love someone like him to be available even for a part of the game, because You know, Rangers don't have the embarrassment of riches in that area, particularly with Alfredo Morelos missing out, which is, you know, you're absolutely gutted for him, because over the last few years he's been sensational in Europe. Morelos. So, you know, but Rangers have adapted well in the last couple of games with Aribo playing there and then Sakala coming on and stuff like that. Ramsey's back available. The suggestion, I know you spoke about it at the programme of the weekend, Gordon, would be that the ones that played against Hearts like Arfield, Ramsey would be unlikely to start, and that would seem the case. So I think Aribo will start probably up top with Kent. It's the right hand side one. I'm not sure of whether it be Sakala, whether it be Scott Wright, whether it's, you know, someone else, who knows. And I think the rest of the team pretty much picks itself. But yeah, I mean, I think that Kemar Roofe, I think, will be available, and I think he'll be on the bench for Rangers, and, you know, if required, it's a terrific option to have.
Can you imagine, let's say, I don't even know, Christmas time even, or maybe a bit before that, September, October, someone says to you, Rangers will make the Europa League final, and you're thinking, not sure I believe you. When, by the way, they'll sign Aaron Ramsey, but he won't get a game. He won't be in the team when they reach the Europa League final. Oh, and they'll do it without a striker as well. There'll be no Alfredo Morelos to be seen anywhere near the latter stages of the competition. I'm not sure you would have been able to take all that in.
Well, people talk about the balance of probabilities, and the balance of probabilities in December time would have been, no, they've got no chance. The loss of Morelos, he's been out for so long, I think it's been diminished. But this guy is Rangers' top goal scorer in Europe of all time, and he's not there. It's astonishing what Rangers have overcome in order to be in Seville on Wednesday. The quality of the opposition they have met and eliminated, the quality of player they have lost and not suffered as a consequence. So, as I say, Rangers are not in Seville because of some twist of fate. They are there because they have a team worthy of being there, and that team has overcome all manner of difficulties.
Yeah, if you're without your top scorer, Jim, it's nice to have a right back who's the top scorer in the competition to help pick up the pieces.
Listen, it's extraordinary what James Tavernier has done, and people can, you know, be negative. They want to add penalties and all this kind of stuff. Listen, you know, we see so many there. There's Riyad Mahrez missed one at the weekend, but a one man sit in the league. It's not easy. A lot of pressure on you. You know, you have the expectations. You've got to take that, as well as being the captain, take that responsibility. So for him to score as many goals, the assists, the way he plays, you know, he's not like a, you know, a vocal type of leader. He's a leader by example and by consistency. And you know, he's one of the most consistent players in Scottish football in the last few years. But in Europe, he's excelled. I mean, I'm amazed that no one is taking a punt. I'm absolutely amazed for Scottish football. Not that I want away from Rangers or Scottish football, but in terms of the amount of money that people spend on far less talented players than James Tavernier, and you know, no one has taken him. So Rangers fans will be delighted. He'll be delighted that he's still at Rangers, because he's now going to lead them out in a European Cup final. So listen, fantastic for James Tavernier, and outstanding to be top goal scorer getting into the final.
William, what do you think about Kemar Roofe? Did that fill you with hope when you saw him on the flight, or will it just be a, you know, a place on the bench for him?
Well, I don't think he'll get a start in full game. He maybe come on to see how it goes in the first half, second half, 60 minutes, or he'll hear the opposite way about come on to the last 30 and see how it goes. I don't think he'll get a full start, but I'm hoping we'll get a nice striker now.
Yeah, well, it was about as much as Rangers fans could have hoped for. I know over the weekend, Alfredo Morelos, I think, put a video of himself in the gym, which got, I think people knew that it was nothing, but it just allowed them that little bit, that 1%. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Alfredo Morelos wouldn't be human if he wasn't absolutely devastated, because he would have known in his subconscious that he would have been a big player in Seville had he been able to get there.
Well, whoever has the burden of scoring the goals for Rangers on Wednesday, I hope they know it's a big responsibility.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Golden Goals.
Because every time they hit the back of the net, we put more money in the jackpot. That's how Super Scoreboard's Golden Goals works. It's how it's worked since January, and I'm pleased to say we're already at £36,000. We started with a grand in January and we're up to £36,000. It's a good job Celtic and Rangers score a lot of goals. Just the nine between them at the weekend, which did push us over the 36 grand barrier. Rangers play on Wednesday, in case you hadn't heard, and then Rangers against Hearts in the cup final at the weekend. So it could be significantly bigger by the end of the competition, and you have to be in it to win it by texting GOAL to 61025. G-O-A-L to 61025. You need to be over 18 to enter. It's £2 plus your standard message rate. The online entry and the full terms are at Clyde1.com, and the lines close 6pm on Saturday, the 21st of May. So for your chance to be the winner at the end of the season, text GOAL to 61025 right now.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy. You can get in touch in a number of ways. The phones, obviously, Twitter. And if you want to hear your question used on the full-time teaser, then you send an email to fulltime@clyde1.com. Alex McLean has done that tonight. Wants to know, after Joe Hart became the 12th player to win the English and Scottish top flight since the start of the English Premier League era at the weekend, can you name the other 11? So you've already got Chris Sutton, Henrik Larsson and Virgil van Dijk. Just to clear something up, I think there was a story where Alex Ferguson specially arranged for Andy Gorham to get a medal. Does that ring a bell? He only played twice, though, right? So forget Andy Gorham. Did you get any more?
Dion Dublin.
Yes, well done. Man United and Celtic.
Yeah, Colin Henry.
Yes, Colin Henry.
I think he was in Chris Sutton's team.
Blackburn and there. Rangers, yep.
Toure.
Colo.
Colo Toure, yes, well done. Brendan Rodgers, one of his early signings, won it a couple of times down the road.
I know, obviously, he won at Manchester United several times, but I'm presuming he won it at Celtic. Roy Keane?
Yeah, Roy Keane. Take that as well. Roy Keane.
I know he didn't have the most auspicious debut, but I just couldn't remember if they won the league that year.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's 7. 4 to get, that's all right. That's
hard to beat Clyde.
That's a healthy amount at this stage on the show, I think. 7 down, 4 to get, and it's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to take part and hear your question used in the future. Now, Charles is a Rangers fan. He's from Bishopton. I'm getting the gist of it here, Charles. No one is staying where they say they're from, so what are you up to in the next couple of days?
Just getting ready now. Tomorrow morning, fly down to London, then fly from London to Milan, overnight Milan, fly to Madrid, then we get the bullet train down to Seville, get us in the afternoon, and then we've got no accommodation for Seville, so we come back at 5 in the morning, train back to Madrid, fly to Menorca to Newcastle, and then a bus up to Newcastle back.
I like it when there's a bit of chaos in there. I think that's the first no accommodation that we've had, although they do. You have accommodation in
Madrid.
No,
Jack and I had a camper van. Maybe could squeak, because there was one stranger. Another couple of strangers, I'll be fine. Just get them in.
So, have you got accommodation in Madrid, or are you just going to just sort of stay up and just hope for the best?
We've got accommodation in Madrid for overnight.
Yeah, I feel a bit better about that, Hugh. I think
I'm just amazed now. I've heard everything. Even
planes, trains, and automobiles,
flying via Frankfurt with the Frankfurt fans, and people just accept all of this as
normal,
being what they have to do.
Do you know what I like particularly about this? Just to make it personal for a second, for those who don't know you, this is your idea of hell. And I don't mean I just mean you like to know where you're going,
correct,
when you're going, exactly who's going to be there, what colour of socks to wear. You like everything set out. This must be your idea of chaos.
I would be out of my mind with worry about flights and trains, and I don't think I would make it to Seville. I think my travelling companions would have thrown me off a plane by that time.
This is the guy that gets the train to Singer about 6 hours before Super Scoreboard starts every day. So Charles, you've got him coming out in a cold sweat.
I think the only thing I've not heard you is a hot air balloon. I think they're traveling.
That's true.
Almost every mode of transport so far.
Charles, we saw the players flying out today, and we were talking about Kemar Roofe and so on. What are your early thoughts about the football, or are you too busy with your travel plans?
Listen, too busy with the travel plans. We're still trying to figure out how to get one side of the other side to get the other plane. We've not got that booked yet.
I've done this before. I think I've made this error. Those two airports in Milan are not that close to each other, are they?
No, they're not. Oh. And we didn't realise that when we booked it. One of the boys booked one airport tonight.
Oh, no.
I hope you've got a few hours between them to get there.
I will have. But I'm going back to work on Friday when I get back. So.
Yeah. You better give your boss a wee bit of a time, so I might be a wee bit late.
32 miles between those two airports in Milan.
Well,
I remember going, we're just going off to travel stories here. Last time I went, I had to return a hire car. So I've taken the family back, dropped them at the check-in desk. Right, I'll just go and return the car. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Go round, except the car hire place just didn't open. No, just didn't. It wasn't open until like normal office hours, like 9. But our flight was like, I don't know, 9:15. So I was just like, I'll just spend the day in Milan alone.
We're going down there a couple of weeks to see our grandchildren in Brighton, and I'm in a cold sweat over how to get from Euston Station to Victoria Station.
Well, listen, you need to take some inspiration from Charles. Yeah. And I like the honesty. I haven't even thought about the game. He barely cares about the game at this point. Just needs to know that he can get there and get back. What does it mean to you, Charles, though, to have this sort of opportunity to follow your team in this way?
I don't think I'll ever get another chance to go. Somebody sent me a picture the other day, and it kind of summed it up. It's a picture of five guys who went the last time, and they must have been in their 20s. And I think there's only four of them alive now, and they're away to watch it again.
Yeah, that's the reality of it, Hugh. I don't know if you've seen some great stuff on social media as well. And yeah. Do you know what? Our show has been unbelievable for this. I can't believe the number of people that are sharing their plans, but you'll have seen the gentleman who was there in 72 and he got presented with the tickets off the family this time, breaking down in tears. And
so poignant, you know what I mean? Things like that. You know, it just shows you what it means to fans. It's incredible.
Jim, what was I? I was 22 in 72. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a black and white telly. You know, the world was just a different place. We were still getting used to decimalisation. Every time you bought something, people would say, what's that in old money? You know, that's how far back it was. We went to a pub in Clydebank to see somebody that I'd gone to school with, and his name was Billy Connolly. He's in a pub in Clydebank playing, and now he's a global superstar. That's how long ago 50 years is, and that's why the caller's perfectly correct to say, this may never come your way again.
It's certainly the winning part of it, Jim. You know, we've got a large generation of fans that know and are aware that Celtic got to this stage and fell short in 03. Rangers did the same in 2008. But for a lot of just Scottish football fans in general, this would seem alien. So Aberdeen, 83. That would be
Gothenburg,
the last. I wasn't alive then.
I think there's only was it five European finals that, you know, we've had Scottish teams have been involved in, you know, ever. So, you know, we've been playing football for 150 years, so it's incredibly difficult, and it's getting more and more with football being dominated by money. For Rangers to get there and for it to be the special occasion, and credit to Seville as well and the local authority for putting on the fan zone in the other stadium, which I think is a fantastic thing to do. Allows the Rangers fans to be together, to hopefully celebrate together, but certainly to witness their team playing rather than spread about different bars and restaurants all over the place. You know, there's a real feeling of togetherness and stuff like that. So I think, you know, that's a fantastic opportunity for the fans to celebrate together. But like Sir Charles saying, all of those ways of getting there, whether they've got tickets, whether they've got tickets for the van zone, whether they haven't got accommodation, you know, that's the furthest thing for their mind. They want to be there. They want to be in amongst their own supporters, celebrating something that, as you said, might only happen. Listen, we know it was 14 years ago. It might happen every 14, maybe 20, maybe 50 years, whatever. But if Rangers can manage to win it 50 years since 1972, it just shows you how difficult it is, Gordon, to win a European trophy.
And I wonder how John Gregg feels, Hugh. He was on the flight today. He, first of all, would have been looking around and thinking, our plane didn't look like this, because it'll have been all kitted out to the max that the plane Rangers were on today. But for him to be there on the flight with the players, and for them to have him there, I'm sure that would be quite an interesting dynamic.
Well, the man has a statue outside Ibrox, and there's one reason for that, and one reason alone, and that's because John Gregg was Rangers. Unbelievable player in terms of his commitment to the club. You see John Gregg in the photographs of 1972, he's got the beard.
Superstitious.
No, but I'll tell you how he grew the beard in the first place. because they were training Monday and he flew into a challenge. They were down at the seaside training at the hotel there. He flew into a challenge and he banged his chin off a park bench. Mm-hmm. And that's why he split his chin open, and that's why he had to grow the beard to overcome the stitches and all the rest of it. So John Gregg, very special man in Rangers history, and it would mean the world to him if Rangers won on Wednesday night. And for James Tavernier to be then on the same pedestal as John Gregg as a European winning Rangers captain, what a moment that would be for Tavernier.
Charles, lovely to hear from you. Make sure if you get stuck in Milan, the first thing you do is phone us so that we can have a good laugh at you, alright?
Absolutely.
Good man, that was Charles from Bishopton. Some journey's about to kick off, honestly. Right, let's quickly try and round off just a couple of other things from the weekend. We are running out of time. Jim, we did say there was a, you know, a definitive nature to the weekend, because we now know all the comings and goings. A quick word for Bonnie Rigg-Rose. Good to see. Commiserations to Cowdenbeath, but always good to see that the pyramid is working.
Yeah, it's about ambition. You know, listen, it's very difficult when communities lose their clubs like Cowdenbeath, like Brechin a couple of seasons ago, whatever. But new clubs coming in, like Kelty, what a success they've been this year under Kevin Thompson, fantastic. Bonnie Rigg, teams that were junior football. Mm-hmm. Listen, they'll not be the last one. Teams like Auchin Leck and all have aspirations.
Edinburgh City and Kelty have all been promoted this year. Cowdenbeath, if you need further proof that the pyramid works. Yeah.
Cowdenbeath spent 117 years as part of the league system. But time doesn't stand still. If you can't keep pace and others can come in, like Bonnie Rigg-Rose, like Kelty, like Edinburgh City, Cove Rangers, then that's the way it has to be.
And then you've got clubs that have been there forever but get a new lease of life, like Queen's Park, and they are promoted as well. So that's certainly going to be one to watch.
I can't wait for Mark Wilson to be asked in future, which SPFL side is known as Rosie Posey? Apparently that's their nickname. Rosie Posey.
And only one more thing to settle in the league. A nervous week for Inverness and St Johnstone.
Yeah, I'll be very, very close to that one. I don't really see many goals in it, because St Johnstone, I think, have only scored about 23 goals or something, or
24
the whole season. You know, Inverness, I think, will be looking, obviously one player will be missing, you know, having been the red card, the other one's going to get appealed. But I think that just in terms of how fit they are, I mean, they've had to play four unbelievably tough games. They've got another two to come. It definitely favours St Johnstone.
Does what happened to St Johnstone yesterday have any bearing? No. Or is that one that's just written off?
No, I'm sure Callum Norton, you just absolutely wrote that off. I don't know what team he played, but he's
a bit mixed.
Yeah, but he's got to leave all those players out. Now, listen, that's just forget that one and move on. It'll be a close call, Gordon.
Right, okay, quickly then, let's do this teaser. Who else are the players that have won the top flight up here and in England since the Premier League era? You've got Sutton, Larson, Van Dijk, Dublin, Colin Hendry, Touré and Keane.
No, need help, mate.
Hugh Keevans, anything from you?
Nope.
We've got eight.
Right, okay. Gordon DL still wakes up in a cold sweat thinking about this guy.
Well, listen, that's
true.
I don't know about that quote.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I think there was a man you mentioned.
because he took the mickey out of his Air United team when he stood on the ball. Come on, what more
do you need? Gaza?
No!
Conchelsis.
Yes. Our colleague Gavin Pearson sent that one in as well. Well done to him. What about a manager who's got a very, 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 very significant midweek coming up?
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Okay, we're getting there. Former Motherwell player, had to get that in there. Motherwell, Celtic, Man United.
Brian McClair.
Is that us?
When you go, I think.
You'll never get this one in a million years.
Probably not.
Played for Chelsea and Celtic.
Tom Boyd?
Nope. He was from the Czech Republic.
Yarasik.
I'll give you that. Well done. We kind of got there in the end. Thank you, Hugh and Jim. Unbelievable week coming up. Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here tomorrow. Make sure you join us. Callum is up next.